Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats.
Price nobody can match.
I'm gonna ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We have a tremendous guest, one of great heart, great passion, and great determination. You know, we live in an ugly world, and we feel we're truly oppressed. But in reality, somebody always has it worse than us. Other individuals never even have half the opportunities that we have in this great country that we live in. You know, my guest today is going to talk in depth. This is going to be the first part of a mini docu-series that I'm going to be doing with her. And I'm just blessed to get her on the show. Rico, we have a tremendous guest today. What does it mean for you to get an opportunity to share with the world the true aspects of who we're about to bring on?
I'm really excited. I mean, someone like Sandra that has so much insight into a dark world where, of course, the people inside that darkness don't want you to know what's going on in there because it's shameful. And I'm so proud of Sandra for exposing the things she knows that's been contained in the darkness in places in the Middle East, and just really commend her bravery to shine a light on it. It can be a dangerous thing that people do to shine the light on that. So I really appreciate Sandra's efforts and what she's doing. Some people are just, I know some of the things I saw about her from videos today, that she can expose just how bad the Muslim religion exploits black people while they enslave them. And there's nothing about it in the U.S. media. It's always that white people are bad, but the Muslim religion is enslaving black people in the Middle East, in Africa, and all over the world. So none of this gets exposed. We hear about dark things going on, but we don't actually hear about the real darkness, the darkness that's, I think, infiltrating our country and Canada and all over the world. So I'm really looking forward to Sandra shining that light today.
So am I. You know, it's a tremendous honor, ladies and gentlemen, for me to bring on Sandra Solomon. Sandra, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I appreciate having me on your show. God bless you, and God bless everyone who's listening now or later. And I pray God use it for His mighty name, and people open their heart and mind for what we're going to be talking about, and the truth to find its way to their hearts.
Most definitely. You know, Sandra, I kind of want to take a quick synopsis into the early aspects of who you are. To my listeners, we're going to kind of build the show with complexity, and we're going to kind of move a little bit fast. So you might want to pay attention, because each and every part of it is going to be very articulate and very eloquent. You know, Sandra, at a very young age, you know, you felt something was different in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Than the aspects that you were walking in and taught. What did it mean for you to realize at a very young age that you would look at the religion that was instilled in your life and realize that that wasn't the religion that was in your heart?
Yes, absolutely. The fact that I was born in the West Bank and the city called Ramallah, and then moved a little bit to Jordan, and then we settled in Saudi Arabia. I was at 9 years old at that time. I just want to, you know, specify in the main points that, you know, was like the biggest red flags to me since I was young. The fact that slowly, you know, as we were children, we don't realize so many things. But mainly in my teenage and specifically in high school, I start to, you know, realize when I start reading with more of, you know, a critical mindset and analyze what's going on in this country and with special, like Saudi Arabia, it's 100% Sharia law. They take Quran and the Hadith, the life of Muhammad, a way of life. They don't go by any other laws. So therefore, I start to, the impact of Sharia law on the living that way impact my life big time. The fact that they forced me into the hijab, the burqa or niqab. I was, you know, the teaching of Islam, the teaching of Sharia law, it's all about violence and hate and, you know, basically they are implanting a terrorism mindset into our heart, into our lifestyle. The fact in school that we have to repeat the oath always, Islam is our religion. Muhammad is our prophet, the Quran is our constitution, the jihad is our way, and dying for Allah is our ultimate dream. So this is what I grew up in, and the discrimination and the physical and mental and spiritual and psychological torture that I faced, that slowly it got me and led me to the conclusion that there's no way that this can be from God, and there's no way I can submit to it, and there's no way I can live by it. So basically, to shortcut it, this way. Yeah.
Now, early in your life, I mean, let's face it, if you didn't follow the Quran and the part of the world that you were from, to have the ideologies that you had set in your heart could have gotten you killed at any moment. I mean, it's an aspect of you that one day you decided that, you know, you weren't only going to, because in your country, women are second-class citizens anyway.
True.
And then on top of that, you decided you wanted to be a Christian, and you did many things to continue your studies. How hard was it for you to deal with the constant ridicule, the demeaning and demoraling aspects of just being where you're from? How hard was it for you to keep your true aspects, the true thoughts, your true love for religion in your heart away from everybody? Because if it would have gotten out at a very young age, you still would have been killed. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely, 100%. I still remember. I would never forget it. That one day my father took us after Jum'ah prayer, which is Friday prayer, in Jeddah. We were living in Jeddah, to the execution square where they execute people. And I still remember the beheading. It was horrible, you know, things to see. However, I know that anybody who's blasphemed against Islam or even criticized or even, you know, criticized Quran or Muhammad or, you know, rebel against them or start questioning to begin with, like you're not even allowed to question, of course that will lead them to, you know, the fact that they will know that you're apostate, and of course you will be killed, because leaving Islam, the penalty is to be killed. But I had to play it smart at the same time. It was a gradually, and of course I was not really into like the praying, the fasting. I would hide it. I would, I fight a lot with my brother. He attempted to murder me many times, refusing to wear the hijab every time we go visit my grandma in Jordan. So it was like a slowly but shortly, like, you know, of course I didn't say it out loud clearly to them, I'm not Muslim or I don't want to be Muslim. I had to keep it low-key. Until God finds a way for me to, you know, leave that region, and then when I went to Canada, then I became Christian. So it didn't happen in Saudi Arabia, but I was already, like, leaving that cult behind me. But I played it smart. You know, I was very careful. I would just say, oh, I don't want to wear the hijab. If they tell me, oh, come pray at the family, you know, in the house, I'll say, okay, now, or maybe later, or I prayed already, or I don't want to pray. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's safe, you know?
I'm going to ask you one more question before I pass it over to Rico. I'm kind of being a mic hog today, but you just intrigued me so much. One of the major issues that you had with the teachings of the Quran and those aspects were how they demean women. What was it that had you finally stand up that day and realize that you weren't second class, that you were equal, and what was it that instilled in you the values to speak out to other women on your thoughts and about equality and having rights as an individual and as a human in their walk?
Yeah, the things that I lived it, and also the things that I saw our neighbors, our families, our friends facing. I'm talking about the women there. The fact that the hijab was the main part, the burqa. I couldn't cover my face. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't say no to hijab. I couldn't say no to burqa. I was forced to wear it. It's the forcement, also the manipulating. You know, they will always tell us, oh, you are like a candy, and the man, like a fly, it will come to you. You will be sexually harassed. Yet, we were always harassed regardless, even the woman who's fully covered. Even in Mecca, the sexual harassment is there. It happened. It happens to me too. I found like it's the contradicting. I hate it. The hypocrisy. They're living a life like from outside it looks nice and clean and holy, but from behind doors, most of people living totally different what they show. There was lots of things. I wanted to live under the light, you know what I mean? I couldn't just, you live a double standard life. Also like the torture, the physical torture. As I said, I escaped honor killing many times. My brother attempted to murder me. The fact that I was physically tortured, I was forced into the marriage. I was house arrest for almost 2 years. They bring me many times, you know, I will be brutally beaten and tortured to the point that they lock me in the room and bring me the food like a dog, open the door and, you know, put it on the floor. You know what I mean? I'm not allowed to go anywhere until only the washroom. This is things that, you know, I was really tortured in a way that not just me, there's lots of women where their husbands, they marry another two or three or five women, divorce them and keep marrying another one because the fact that they didn't bring the boy or just they have the money and they want more wife. Many neighbors that they've been like physically tortured because allowed for it's halal in Islam for a man to beat his wife. It's halal to even kill her. For simple reasons, and they claim it, they blame it on honor killing. So many things that this is not a life. This is not, there's no freedom. In Islam, there's something called wali al-amr or muhram, a guardian. I cannot leave the house without his permission, even to go like a grocery store or something. There's no respect, there's no trust, there's no love, there's no peace, there's nothing. There's no freedom of speech, there is no freedom of choice whatsoever. So therefore, all these accumulated during the years on top of each other, of course, it will get anybody to use, if they use the brain a little bit, to realize that this is, there is a better way. This is not just, this is not the way of God wants us for as a woman to live.
No, definitely isn't. I'm going to pass the mic over to Rico and let him ask you a couple questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, thank you, Don. So you've exposed like a lot of these tortures and things against women, but there's also things against focused on children too. What do they call that? Where boy, there's, it starts with a B, I think, where boys get raped or molested, and I think it's okay for the Saudi males to do that, right?
Yes, it's mainly famous in Afghanistan and some parts of Iran. in some parts of Iraq. They call them Pacha Pazis. These the boys for the pressures, you know, because there's no like clubs or ways for men to go and have fun with, you know, like with ladies or whatever. So they bring these boys and they dress them like in a girl's dress, and they put makeup on them and stuff and let them dance for them. And they rape them.
Wow.
And most of these boys are actually like orphans. Like there's no parents and nothing. They're living in poverty, extreme poverty. And of course, the government are not taking any measures to take these boys off the streets and help them. The fact that in some parts of Afghanistan as well, they are very well known and big on drugs and, you know, stuff. So they use it to, you know, their government themselves, you know, government inside government. Even the government sometimes, they cannot do anything about it because these people are powerful and they have a lot of support from many rich people from the Gulf areas and stuff. So they go there and pay money for that.
Wow. Thank you, Sandra.
Yeah.
Now,
and also, not to mention, sorry, the child marriage, this is all over the Middle East, everywhere, not just in a certain area, but mainly, of course, like in Yemen, half of the girls, underage marriage, you know, you're talking about seven, eight years old, 9 years old, and most of them, they die the wedding night from the rape and the internal bleedings, and most of them as well, they set themselves on fire, they kill themselves, and, you know, name it, all kind of torture. You know, pedophilia in Islam, it's halal, it's permitted. When I say halal, that means legal. The fact the Quran is the constitution. So if someone 50 years old marry 9 years old, a girl, that's halal, that's okay, legal. No one can say anything.
That's disgusting.
Ahead.
And it kind of led into another thought I wanted to kind of progress to here was that pedophilia, we had as a subject on the show a couple weeks ago and touched on it last week, but I think in my mind, I'm thinking it has grown, and I don't want to say popularity because that's just a disgusting topic, but like there seems to be a comfort level with that topic now, and I think Islam plays a part in that. That here Muhammad the Prophet married a six-year-old girl. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? Wasn't Aisha six years old?
Yep.
Yeah. And then they brag and say, well, maybe she was nine when he finally consummated the marriage. Like, that's better. But my friend Rihanna Levi in L.A., Rihanna Levi posted something that exposed that, that shows that now they're teaching it in our universities and things, and politicians are endorsing pedophilia, and especially on the Democrat Party side.
Because most of them are pedophiles anyway.
And they receive donations like Hillary Clinton did from Muslim nations, but says she supports women's rights, but then receives support from Muslim nations. So
definitely
that word,
the hypocrisy.
I hope we get into the word, was it taqiyya? Is that the one where they lie to?
Taqiyya.
Yeah. For the audience, for those that don't
term,
know.
Sure. So this is what I've been taught since I was young. As a Muslim, we have to always, if we go to infidel countries, which is the kafirs in Islamic terms, the countries that the majority kafirs, infidels, to spread, in a way to spread Islam, we have to, it's halal in Islam. Again, I'm going to keep using the word halal to people to understand because they see halal everywhere, to understand that halal word, it's linked to lots of ugly things. So basically it's legal, it's permitted, it's okay to lie and deceive people into lots of things until they trust you. So you gain power. And you can use it to infiltrate. You can use it to as a weapon to lie to them and let them, you know, believe you, comfort you, whatever, all that stuff. So until you get what you want, basically. So when we see these politicians, for example, Iqra Khalid in Canada, the Muslim Pakistani MP, when she brings the motion M103, the Islamophobia motion, she's definitely using the taqiyya. And trying to, you know, play smart and play peace and stuff. Oh, we're just going to use it for to protect our communities and stuff. So basically, that's the qiyam. When many politicians, they keep saying, oh, Islam is religion of peace, they themselves, they are using the taqiyya to deceive people and let them actually believe in it, and so on and so forth. Muslim can actually pretend to be an infidel, believe it or not. He can wear a cross. He can wear, you know, modern. Even women, they can take off their hijab just for the sake of Islam. Like Ikra Khaled, she doesn't wear hijab. She's Muslim. But for the sake of, you know, furthering the agenda, that's fine. According to Sharia law, it's okay. She can do it because she's doing it for Islam.
You know, Sandra, I hear these things, and, you know, the world is just now waking up to a lot of this. You know, that's one thing my show is tremendous about is it's globally, it's uncensored, so we can speak freely. And that's one thing that I think a lot of Americans and Canadians, you know, are different. And you don't have the freedom of speech, even being in Canada, that I do in the United States. But what did it mean for you to finally land on Canadian soil? You know, and it's kind of a two-headed question because, to me, you went to Canada because you wanted to follow your heart. You wanted to follow your beliefs, and you wanted to give back and save those women that were being brutalized in your country. But there's other aspects that are out there that say that Sandra Solomon did that for monetary gain, which I find to be complete and utter BS. You know, explain to the world what the true meaning of why Sandra Solomon became a part of Canada and why she sought after the religion that she lived her whole life.
Yes, thank you for this question because it's absurd when people say that because apostate from Islam, it can be killed anytime, anywhere, Canada, U.S., anywhere, Europe, North Pole, South Pole, it doesn't matter. When your blood, when Muhammad said more than 1,400 years ago, whoever changed their religion, kill them, period. So any Muslim can kill me. He doesn't have to be in certain like position, like he cannot be like he doesn't have to be like someone who's in power to arrest me. Can be literally stabbed on the street or shot in the street and period, and he will be called a hero or even she. Maybe it could be a woman because she will be a hero or he will be a hero. And my blood is now according to Islamic law, it's, you know, the one of the cheapest, you know what I mean, like easy, just kill her, and that's it. And because the main thing, Islam hate, the one who leave Islam, and actually they fear us more than anybody else. The fact that I understand it in Arabic, inside out, what makes me do that, number one, as you said, the one who left behind. There's lots, I'm talking about millions of young girls subject to be a child bride any minute as we are talking right now. There's many boys, there's lots of women, their husband abusing them, or their family, or their brother or father, the man in their family. There's lots of women, the voiceless. So I can be the voice of the voiceless. And it happened to me one time. That one girl, she escaped Saudi Arabia. She came to Canada. She searched for me, and she came to me. She was young. She was like 20, 22. And she, her family brought her to Canada to marry her off to someone here in Canada. She ran away from the hotel. She searched for me, and she find me, and I spoke to her, and I saw her. I took her myself to the police station, and I make sure that she's good in shelter. And she told me, listen, your videos are going so viral in Saudi Arabia to the point that many people, like many families, say, please, monitoring their girls not to watch you. She said, you give me the power to do what I'm doing now. That was like a moment where it makes me even want to go farther and more speak. The fact that I know that there is girls, encouraged by this. And definitely not for fame, not for money. I'm not getting anything and not asking anything. And God knows how much sometimes I suffer. I struggle financially. The fact that I cannot work anywhere, I have to hide my identity many times. It's not easy to live this kind of life. I don't have the freedom that I really hoped for in Canada. Unfortunately, we are being kind of censored. Facebook blocked me tons of times. I lost the count. Twitter, YouTube removed my channel. 100-plus videos gone. I cannot even retrieve it. So on and so forth. You know, the media tried to label me as a bigot or as a Islamophobe. So name it.
I've seen it, my friend. And, that, you know, the mutual friend that brought us together really understands the complexity of who I am in life. And that's why I had to have you on an American show, because it's not censored. Trudeau, Freeland, none of the aspects that we speak of can stop my show. So
yeah, I call them jihadi Justin. Jihadi for Mimi Justin.
But you
You're
know,
right.
The tremendous thing about it is, Sandra, you will always have a voice on my show.
Amen. God bless you.
You know, these atrocities need to be heard, and I'm an individual in life that I'm a God-fearing man, and I believe in sharing the voice of the voiceless, sharing the voice of many. Now, there's an aspect that I would, hopefully we can kind of explain really in a nutshell. You know, because I'm learning a lot about the Quran and different things of this nature, about Sharia law. Now, you're originally from Palestine. You know as well as I know. I have friends. I've told the plight of the Palestinian people. There are Palestinian brothers of mine that are Christian. You know, how hard is it for a Palestinian over there not only to watch their country shrink away? And I'm not saying I agree with either side, with the Israeli side or the Palestinian side. I'm just saying that the country of Palestine is shrinking down. But how hard is it for the true Palestinian Christians to get their voice out?
Yes. Well, I'm also like an advocate kind of for Israel. You know, I personally, I'll be honest with you, I don't believe that there's such a thing called Palestine, but there is Palestinian people who need to live in peace, who has the right to live in peace and have their voice heard. However, the Christian Palestinian, actually, I visited Israel, and it's a beautiful country. They are protected under the Israeli, government. However, of course, the voice sometimes it's when I visited Beit Lahem, Nazareth, I saw the the biblical, all the. You know, it's not just reading the Bible, like you're actually living the Bible. It's hard for them to speak when it comes to the eliminating and the torture. When it comes to the Palestinian Authority, they are being eliminated. They are being censored, and they cannot really speak the way we are talking here at all. Unless they are living in the Israeli side, maybe. But if they are living under the Palestinian Authority, there is big time, torture and censoring and no freedom for speech. They cannot say anything. They would have to keep it low-key, keep it to themselves, and pretend that everything is okay. They are monitored big time. They cannot say anything because easy, their women can be kidnapped and raped. Easy, their houses can be attacked. Easy, they can be killed. And it happens many times to the Christians there. Lots of priests, lots of, church leaders, are they being stopped by Palestinians, Muslims, big time.
Well, the ones that even moved to the States are still demoralized here. You know, you mentioned a question, and as a journalist, I sometimes like to be, like I said earlier, the elephant in the room, and I like to share both sides. Now, you say that, on the Israeli side, you don't believe in that there is a Palestine. Why is it that you don't believe that there should be a Palestine, but there are Palestinians.
The fact, you know, if we go back to the history, we know that the Islamic conquest, many areas and many countries around the world, and there is something called Al-Ahd Al-Umariyya, the Umayyad deities, that when they enter Jerusalem and they conquer Jerusalem and they took the keys from the church leaders there, the Jerusalem keys, and they conquered and they destroyed many churches and they destroyed a lot of homes and they killed many Christians and they took over. So it was basically the Arabic occupation to that land, and there was no Aqsa Mosque at that time. As I read the history and I searched it, and we know that what happened actually. And then down the years, you know, we know that when the Roman empires, you know, the Emperor Hadrian, he was like against the Jews and he wanted to humiliate them, and he called it Palestinia, Syria, meaning like people without land. And we know that down the years, you know, they make everything Arabic. So therefore, they changed the name to Palestine with the F. With you know, so in Arabic, so therefore they make it Arabic name, of course, to fit the narrative. And we know, as an ex-Muslim, also Palestinian, I know that the hatred to the Jews, it eternally, it has nothing to do with the land. We learned that
it's manifested like right now what American culture is going through with Black Americans. It's manifested. You know, it's their narrative. And we fall into the trap each and every time. You know, that's the part that really gets to me. Because a lot of the people don't realize that we're being played as individuals by the government, for the government on many levels. You know, I think what you're doing is a tremendous thing. And I think being a Christian woman speaking out is even more beautiful. But if you look, as I do, as being a Christian, prophecy says that when the Israelis have a place to call their home, when they have a land to call their own, that the Bible prophecy is being fulfilled and that these are truly the end times. Sandra, what are your thoughts in that regard?
Yes, of course. The Bible, I'm a big believer in the Bible, and I know it's 100% true word of God. And I came to love Israel. I came to love the Jews and protect them from all the anti-Semitism is going on. The fact that the Bible speak about it, and we see it happening in the before our eyes, that the return to their home, this is just like, you know, as we're living the fulfillment and we're getting closer and closer to the end times, you know, when we know that what's going to happen, and I believe in it big time, and I really, you know, it's actually rooting our faith even more and more and strengthening our faith, that we know that, see, the word of God is it's coming to pass. It's coming to, you know, we see it happening in our eyes, in our generation. So this is amazing to me. When I went there, and I know that many Palestinians, by the way, they live under the Israeli, and you know, they have the Israeli passport. They live under the Israeli government. They refuse by all means to go and live under the Palestinian Authority, because they know under the Israeli government they have a democracy, they have freedom, women are protected. You know, they have their living, they can even speak their mind, even against Israel. You know, like no one is censoring them. You know, they have the freedom of speech to say whatever they want. So I'm into that.
You know, I personally, honestly, I'm gonna pass it back to Rico, but I know these are the end times. You know, I feel it. I'm 56 years old, and it doesn't take a man of great knowledge to understand what lies before us, and I'm glad you articulated on that, because it gives my listeners a different perception, a different thought, you know, not just some ideology, but layers and complexity to who you are as an individual. I'm going to let Rico ask you a couple more questions, and then when I come back, we'll dig a little bit deeper. Rico?
Thank you, Don. So, Sandra, have you ever met any other women, I think, that suffer from the same way you do? I think another woman that comes to mind is Bridget Gabriel of Lebanon. Have you met her before?
I wish. She's a busy woman. I tried to reach out to her, but unfortunately I couldn't meet her in person. Also, the fact that I think that she's in the U.S., not in Canada. Otherwise, I would have, you know, worked harder to meet her. And yeah, definitely one day I would love to meet her. She's a great woman, and I love her message, and I love her videos.
Yes,
actually, I learned
very...
also like a lot from the way she talked. I learned a lot from her.
We need to make that happen, Rico. Don't you think so?
I think so. I think we do. That would be an awesome moment. I really enjoy your take on history and everything. You seem to be very well educated, and I certainly appreciate that. And so, like, your knowledge of events in the Middle East and everything, that's, I really appreciate that because, you know, I have two daughters, which a lot of people on the show know because I mention them a lot, but they, it seems like with girls, there's not a lot of love to learn history and things like that, but I'm very impressed with your knowledge of history. So what made you interested or to know so many things about history?
I was in literature classes, and I loved history since I was back in Saudi Arabia. But the fact that they didn't, the fact when I came to realize that Islam is false and many of their teaching was like wrong. But however, the Islamic history that shows us from the Quran, Hadith, the history of Muhammad, the history of the conquest, it makes it a link. To know what happened later, you know what I mean? So I just wanted to know to distinguish between the true history and the false history, like to see what happened, you know, and what actually happened, where these people came from, what happened after Muhammad died, what happened and after when the Khulafa Rashidin, like the four leaders, they came after Muhammad. I just wanted to know, to link the dots, to make sure that I'm reading the true history, not the false history. So because there's lots of people and lots of documentary videos or movies or people, they, you know, especially from the Islamic country, they tried their best to claim that, oh, it's been always Muslim land. Oh, they're Muslim. The Muslims, they've been always there since Adam. We all been Muslim. You know what I mean? There's no such a thing other. Everything was corrupted. They hate us. They killed us. Therefore, we have to go and kill them to defend ourselves. But then when I read the true history, it was totally wrong. And we are the you know, when we came from Arabic nation or Muslim nation. No, I'm sorry. They were innocent, knowing that they killed many Christians and many Jews in the Arabic Peninsula until the day of today, until... Like, for example, a few days ago, Erdogan, he changed Hagia Sophia to a mosque. So basically, they are erasing. They try to erase. We need to keep the true history alive for our generation, our kids, to know what actually happened.
Yes, Turkey
like what
was
the
lefties
are doing now in U.S., sorry, in U.S., in Canada, what the lefties are doing. They are destroying memorials. Destroying all these, the history of America. So when you see all these buildings, structures, statues, it's being destroyed, exactly what Islam did. They remove it. 100 years later, they're going to say, oh, nothing happened here. No, nothing was here. This is our land, and they are the ones who took it, and we had to take it back from them. Scenario they're going to play.
Yes, and I think, so learning history probably was part of like your conversion process, where you were kind of learning the world, not the world as you knew it under the darkness, but you were relearning the world under your conversion process. Would you say that's accurate?
Amen. Under the light. Shed the light under the true history, for the true history. Yeah, true.
Right.
You know, Sandra, go ahead, Rico. If you get another question, go ahead.
No, you go. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, it's just, I'm a passionate man. I'm a man that Sandra, actually hearing your story is tearing my heart in two, and I've never been touched by a guest like this. It's, you know, because I had an understanding of, well, I thought I had an understanding of certain aspects of the Middle East, and you kind of conformed my thoughts and getting to know you. What does it mean for you, Sandra, to carry the blood of your heritage to righteousness, to create a new path for your ancestors? What does it mean for you to carry their blood forward into a better future?
It means the word. It means the life. And that, as a Christian, I believe that Jesus gave us one thing to do in this world. And he said, go to the world and you know, preach the gospel. And we need to shed the light on the darkness and expose the evil, expose the hypocrisy, expose everything wicked. And it means the world to me. I'm so happy that I'm doing it. I'm not regretting anything of what I'm saying. And I'm willing to die because of it, that I know that one day people will remember me, that, oh, she did something good. I helped someone, somewhere, somehow. I wake up someone, somewhere, somehow. So
yeah.
Basically, yeah, it means the world. It means the world to me, and I'm so proud of what I'm doing. I'm so proud, and I praise the Lord that he really opened the doors for me, the ways. For me, since I was in Saudi Arabia, I was always, you know, always praying to the creator of the world. I didn't know who he is at that time, because Allah to me was nothing but someone created by Muhammad, and Muhammad is actually the founder and the leader and the God of Islam. So basically, I was just always looking at the sky and say, Lord God, whoever you are, just get me out of here. And yeah, I'm just giving him back what he did.
You know, sometimes in life, you know, because I do so many different shows and I hear so many different stories that really, I don't know, they change who I am and they give me a different perception of life. You know, Sandra, let's say you look over your shoulder and you look at your past, your present, and your future. What is it that you truly feel is the greatest blessing so far thus in your life?
Coming to Christ. This is the greatest blessing, that I know that I'm saved.
Amen.
Nothing more than that.
Amen. You know, it's a hard path you walk.
Yes.
You know, sharing your story is even that much harder. I know we don't want to go too deep in today's show. I know we got about another 20 minutes. We're not going to go too deep into, because I want to do a second episode with you and a third episode like we talked about, because there's so many layers and complexities to who you are. What are you doing right now in Canada to share the message, to keep the word of Sandra Solomon, you know, being divided and divided into history? What are you doing in those?
Right now, I'm looking for a job where I don't have to wear a mask.
Well, that's kind of hard, right?
They make it freaking mandatory everywhere. I'm like, I cannot find a job. You know how you have to wear the mask everywhere.
Yeah, it's that way here now. It wasn't
yes.
That way, but in the past.
That's what I said earlier today. In Middle East, I was forced to wear the burqa. In the West now, I'm forced to wear the mask. Where we are going, like where we are heading.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's crazy. You know, now that you're in Canada, you know, you have a prime minister that is truly evil. He opened the gateways to Islam.
Yeah.
How much more fear did that instill in you, Sandra? Or how much more faith and attitude did it give you? Because it could either be a two-way, you know, two-way street. It could either made you stronger, or it could have brought the fear from your homeland to Canada. How do you look at that perception of Trudeau opening Canada to Islam?
Yeah, it's actually a very hard situation, and it's a mixed feeling. I won't maybe call it fear, because, but it's more concern, a deep concern, like a lot of concern about what's going on. Fear for the country, fear for the people. As I say, I know I'm saved. If I'll be killed in a minute, I know I'm saved. But I fear for Canadian. I fear for Canada. I fear for the young girl who's going to be kidnapped and raped, because that's what's going to come. That's what's going to happen. I fear for the patriots who's trying their best. They're trying hard to speak their mind, to practice the last things that, you know, that's left for them. I fear for the preachers, the many street preachers, the people, some of them I know personally, they've been arrested. They cannot even preach the gospel anymore. I fear for Christians, how much they're going to be suffered when things, hit the fan and be like really massive persecution. So basically, it's mixed feelings and also concern and also anger of what's going on. And I feel like sometimes I wish I can just go to the street and shake people, like literally hold them and shake them to wake them up, like wake up for what's going on. Trudeau open it up for Islam to come, the Islamization of Canada. It's killing it. It's spreading like a flame fire in a forest. Like it's hard to stop it after. When burns everything, when it takes out everything, lots of Muslim Brotherhood terrorist organization, well known, infiltrating the government, opening the way for ISIS terrorists to come back to Canada without stripping out the citizen, without putting them in a jail. Of course, I'll be concerned when I see them. Sometimes, if you walk on the streets, on the downtowns, or whatever, everywhere, sometimes I can literally recognize them. I know how they dress. I know how they think. I know how they talk. When I see imams, three imams, I report them to the police: Ahmed Abdel Qadir Qandil, Saeed Rajah, Shahrayar Al Sheikh. I report them openly, saying apostates from Islam should be executed in Canada. When I see imams promoting violence against women, promoting child marriage, of course, is the beast that I fight in Canada the same beast that I fought in Saudi Arabia? Same monster. It's still like still going everywhere and trying to take control and take over. And they are gaining so much power when it comes to the political level.
Yeah.
One imam, Egyptian imam, he called Trudeau al-Najashi, the Najashi of this era. The King Najashi, the king of Ethiopia back in the day, you know, al-Habasha. Back in the days, they call it Habasha, but now it's Ethiopia. The one who opened the door for Muslims. Same thing. Same thing. Traitor. He's destroying this country. He can careless. He canceled Canada Day. Canceled Canada Day, where we had to go with the patriots and celebrate it ourselves. What more? Bringing terrorists, giving $10.5 million to convicted terrorists. What more? The list can go more and more with what Trudeau's doing. And I'm actually warning every U.S. citizen, a true patriot, the true Americans, the patriot Americans, for the love of America, for the love of the freedom, be careful, because I know maybe Canada, maybe one day it will be like a national threat to USA. Lots of jihadists in Canada, they are freely living their life. Lots of people promoting and recruiting, lots of youth, I'm talking about the youth. Not too long ago, Palestinians on the street chanting the Jews our dogs and calling for the shed of the blood. In another way, basically kill the Jews.
Yes.
You know? Yes. So basically when they chant in the mosque, oh Allah, help our mujahideen in Canada. What do you mean mujahideen, the jihadists in Canada? What do you mean? That means help them. Help them in what? In doing jihad. That means doing terrorist acts.
Yeah.
So basically, and he is opening the door for them, and this is my you know, biggest concern, of course, outside of the lifties and the lip-tarded and all that stuff, but I'm focusing more into the Islamization, and they're all getting together to destroy this beautiful country. The country, the moment I landed in it, I breathed. I couldn't breathe. You know, they use the term, I cannot breathe. I couldn't breathe. I cannot breathe now in Canada. I cannot. I'm being censored. Patriots being censored. Lots of people being arrested. The ICRA College, the fact that just went to her office to challenge her on Islamophobic motion, they called the police on me. The police, they came and take me out. They said, if you want one more word, they can arrest me. I could have been arrested that day. If I refuse.
See, and Americans don't even understand how bad it is in Canada. You know, that's one of the reasons why I took the plight of the Canadian people a little over a year ago, was because you don't have freedom of speech. You don't have freedom of expression. You know, on top of that, you have the worst prime minister in Canadian history in Trudeau. But on top of that, the deputy prime minister is Chrystia Freeland. She's the reason there was the fall of Venezuela. But what they did after they opened the door to Islam was they opened the door to China.
True.
So now you have your past chasing you down.
Yes.
And now you have a new enemy at your doorstep, and that's communism.
Communism, for sure.
How does a woman of such moral value maintain her heart, her thoughts, her sentiments in helping people when you have two of the most ugliest snakeheads?
Vicious.
Yeah, vicious. Controlling your country.
Yeah. You know, I'm only like a human. I can do much. I'm trying my best to keep my voice out. And there is lots of people are not seeing what we can see. Communism with it happened before in Iran, it happened before in Iraq. The communists tried to fool people, and they fooled them. And then when the Islamists came, they actually killed the communists. Even the communists themselves, they're not realizing. The Islam is also the enemy of communism to begin with. They are siding aside together only the Islam. They're using the taqiyya, playing peace and playing aside, or playing a friend to them, because they need them. Once they are majority or more powerful, definitely the first people to go is the communists. You cannot trust them. So I'm trying to keep it loud as much as they can. Hopefully, within the next year, I'm working on writing my book, How to Defeat Islam. And it has lots of detail in it, so I need lots of prayers for that. Hopefully, you know, I can do as much as I can thanks to you, people like you, who opening up for more people to speak. I really appreciate having me.
Oh,
so that's what I'm doing.
I'm
speaking.
I'm going to promote your book on my show. So,
Amen. Within the next year, and hopefully, I can do something more organized. You know, I'm looking into setting up like an organization, something more organized, and something to get the word out more professionally and more to other levels. So, but it's just a matter of time. I'm just working into myself now, building myself into lots of things. The fact that I came to this country with zero English, I'm still working on my English to, increase my vocabularies and my grammar to fix it. So it's still, I'm working on it. So I'm still studying, and I'm still doing lots of research and lots of study. So basically, when the day comes, the things will change. Amen. And I hope the people will wake up. Seeing lots of people lining up to get a bread, to get food for the food stores, breaks my heart.
Yeah.
It's coming.
We're not sheep. People turning to a sheep. People modern-day enslavement, And lots of things. Economy is going really bad in Canada. Jobs are going bad, Lots of people lost their jobs. Lots of people lost hopes, you know what I mean? And all, like, people are struggling, people on the streets. The country, when I came, I never see a homeless person. But look at it now. I'm talking about hundreds on the streets, beg for money, beg for food.
Sad.
Canadians, not foreign, Canadians. And yet they want to open up the door for invaders to come, the invasion of Canada. For the next 3 years, they want to bring more than a million.
Well, yeah, that's what started the euthanasia program. That's what started the decline of the elderly people in the eyes of the Canadians and the government. They deem the elderly disposable. They deem them a debt on the system. And Rico, I'm not sure if you know too much about Canada, bro, but, you know, I'm sure Sandra will agree with me. They've created euthanasia aspects in Canada for the elderly. You basically, if you're a Canadian and you take your parents to these places, you could take them to a place and basically, like you would a dog or a cat, you can have them euthanized. You know, people need to wake up. Canada is not a pretty country. You know, Canada.
It was not anymore.
No.
It was not anymore. But we still love it. The fact that this is the country that opened the door for me. This is the country that gives me shelter. The country that gives me food and gives me the freedom and gives me education where I couldn't have it. You know what I mean? I'm thirsty for knowledge, thirsty to go to school. I couldn't go to school, Middle East. The fact that my brother saw me without hijab, forget it. They locked me in many years forbidding me to go back to school or college or continue my education. So this country gives me. I will never bite the hand that, you know, give me something. I'm giving back to this country as a duty. This is, as a Canadian, this is my duty to fight for this country, not just Canada. Like, you know, Islam threat, it's globally. But basically, this country, I found the freedom. I found, you know, as a woman, I, at least I can walk in, I can drive a car. We couldn't drive a car in Saudi Arabia. Like, I can do things that I couldn't do back home. I can talk. Now I'm talking to you. Now I'm talking on the everywhere. Like, whatever I'm doing, I'm doing it. You know, thank God I'm still alive with all the jihadists walking freely in Canada. So at least, you know, at least I can do something, even if it's little.
Yeah,
it's better than nothing.
Yeah, it's worth fighting for.
It you know, is.
With that being said, I'm going to Rico ask you a couple more questions.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back and we'll wrap up the show, my friend. Rico?
Thank you. Sandra, we would love to have you in the USA. So if the Canadian experience doesn't work out, we would love for you to come down here. We'd love to offer you freedom. And I would suggest you probably moving to the South because we don't like people taking away our rights, and especially in the southern part of the USA. So, Sandra, yes, you're welcome here. And we really appreciate you being on the show, and I really look forward to the future episodes. And Sandra, have you got anything that you would like to share that maybe that you would like for us to look forward to, that you really, something you really think we should expound on?
In areas, yes. The things that I'm focusing on all the time, the root of the problem, like the root of the problem when it comes to Islam, I always focus into terrorism, women, Quran, and Muhammad. These 4 points. I did a campaign a while ago to designate Quran as a hate literature, and God helped me to continue into it. Muhammad, who he is, and terrorism and women, people need to know the root of terrorism, the teaching of the Quran, where how it teaches terrorism, what's terrorism, and how people turn to a jihadist, what makes them do it, and all that stuff. You know, in depth, more in depth, more maybe sometime in the future we can I can explain to people 1 point at a time, different episodes. Women, I can get them to know from the Quran, from the teaching, what's women in Islam in many different points. What evidence? Of course, I will bring the verses and I will explain more in depth the people how it works. So basically, this is the main thing that Islam, this is like the foundation. As I said, the oath that we have to give in school, Islam is our religion, Quran is our constitution, Muhammad is our prophet, jihad is our way, and dying for Allah is our ultimate dream. So
wow.
The danger of, and also I want to, in the future, we can talk about, you know, how they infiltrate at the political level, economical level, you know, the media, like in every way possible, how they infiltrate and what they do and how they can get away with it. And
right.
Many people like to understand these points. Yeah, go ahead.
Because we talked about Taqiyya, you know, which is where the they give themselves permission to lie. So it's nothing unethical. I mean, they make an excuse for lying by giving it a name, and then it becomes part of a their, you know, it's permissible to lie because of that rule. So one thing.
Yes, because in the Quran, لا يتخذ المؤمنين الكافرين أولياء من دون الله إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقى. The thing that it's until, like, don't take them as an ally until you are using, unless you are using taqiyya on them. Do not take them allies. Do not take them as a friend. A Muslim cannot take an infidel person, a kafir person, as a friend unless they are using taqiyya on them. It can be your neighbor, it can be your co-worker, it can be anybody. So therefore, I personally always say, okay, fine, treat them with love, treat them with peace, don't give your 100% trust.
Have I got
Never.
One more thing I can slip in real quick? Don, I got time for one more. Thank you. I have a position on Islam, especially in our country. I love the Constitution. I love our government over here. But I'm all about freedom of religion and things, but there's some aspects of Islam that I do not think are permissible, because I believe Islam is a government and not a religion.
Yes.
Because you have a do you see Islam as more of a government or religion? That's my position. And so I wonder if you share the same position too, that Islam is more of a government. So we cannot have Islam fully functioning here because it's a government, right?
Yes, from the name, they say Sharia Allah. Ask every Muslim in Canada, U.S., 99.90%, they're going to say, yes, we want Sharia Allah. We don't want Canadian Constitution. We don't want American Constitution. They believe the Quran is the final divine word from supposedly Allah, the God of the universe, and he knows better. And Muhammad knows better. The one who had sex with 9-year-old baby, he knows better.
Oh,
the
yeah.
one who killed and raped, he knows better. So basically, this is, so they would never integrate. They look at the Canadian or American Constitution as a man-made constitution. From the word, Sharia Allah, it's law. The Islam, it's political ideology wrapped, mixed with some rituals, totalitarian ideology, fascist ideology. If it was only when it comes to the worshipping aspect of it, okay, you want to turn to Mecca, turn to Mecca, turn your head to whatever you want to turn. You want to pray, pray. You want to fast, fast. But don't force people into it. Don't force people. There's no such a thing Islam spread by the word, people convinced by it. It's in two cases. Number one, by
Thank
the sword, or now the terrorist act, you know, guns. Or number two, the foolish, you know, the one who fooled. That's it. No other way.
Thank you. I get a lot of surprise looks and things, or a lot of shock and horror from people who aren't really educated about what Islam wants to achieve. And I really believe, and I see it more, and if other people will investigate this, like you have investigated it, It operates more like a government, and so it's going to try to dethrone our government. So it's very dangerous, very dangerous.
One important point I have to address on it here and stress very, put many lines under it. I read so many of the Quran, the one they give on the streets and the Islamic stores. I collect so many flyers. I spent one time I spent about a month. I'm just reading every single flyer, every single book. I read so many of the Islamic books and booklets and tracts of whatever they give in Canada. Trust me, all of them lie. This is part of their taqiyya. So don't trust the translated Quran. Don't trust any Islamic source. Take it from people like us, the one who's ex-Muslim, and especially the one who understands the Arabic. Because when I read the Quran in Arabic and I read the Quran in English, the translated one, it's totally different story. 100%. They water it down. They sugarcoat it. They went between brackets. There's no brackets. And for example, the part where they say beat them, for the wife, they put between brackets slightly. The part where they say وَيَعْتُ الْجِزْيَ عَنْ يَدْ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ, give the jizya when they are subdued. They put it in the English one, and they are humbled. How can it be someone coming with a sword on your head or a gun and telling you, give me jizya, and then you're going to be humbled? You give it to them, money. It's a gangster. It's a mafia. Muhammad was a leader of a mafia. It's a mafiosa terrorist-like organization. Islam is a terrorist organization. They give people three options. You either become a Muslim or pay jizya, or you're going to be killed when they are majority. Once they are minority, play taqiyya, play racist card, play Islamophobic card. Until we gain the power, period, that's Islam.
Thank you.
As point blank as you could put it. I mean, yeah. It's about as truthful as you can put it, too. You know, Sandra, you thought you gained physical and spiritual freedom when you got to Canada. Now we learn through the show that is gone. Let's say you get that brief moment to look into who you are. You get that brief reflection into Sandra Solomon. What would it truly mean for you to find that physical and spiritual freedom without the thought that you can be killed at any moment?
You know, it brought a comfort in my heart, comfort in my mind. I don't have to turn away right and left to look. Someone might throw acid on my face. Someone might stab me anytime. Someone might shot me anytime. Someone might kidnap me and rape me and kill me somewhere in the bushes. It brought a comfort. You know, when you feel secure, security is so important. That's why when I always talk about Islam, I tell them it's not about love or hate. It's about security. As a woman, I can, like, you know, the freedom, it's not cheap. I fought for it. And people took advantage. You know, they take it for granted. They are living in Canada. When I first came, I gained the physical power. I gained the strength because I was beaten brutally, tortured physically in Middle East. And many days I would be in bed for weeks. My bones, my bruise, all the colors, the purple, blue, green, everywhere, all over my body. I cannot move. They won't even bring a doctor to me. I lived a life like I was literally in a Guantanamo, like a jail, like I was in a jail, tortured every day. So, of course, I gain all these power virtually, mentally. I retrieve it. I was healed. But yet there is pain in my heart. When I look back and I look at the West and I see what's going on in Canada and U.S., the time where I took it to gain the physical and the spiritual power again, I was like a kind of recharge. You know what I mean? I was recharged. To continue fighting for what I started since I was, I'm talking about, what, 12, 13 years old? And now I'm almost 42. I'm not hiding my age. Soon to come my birthday on the 23rd July. So where am I going to go after? I need to build a spaceship and go to the moon? They're going to follow me. It took years of my life. I could have been, you know, I was thirsty for, like, education. You know what I mean? Like, I'm behind. I'm still, like, you know, it's a race. And I'm trying to run to catch a new technology, new things, the language, the knowledge, to build myself, to, you know, to be that woman that I always dreamed about.
My friend, you are that woman that you've always dreamed about.
I'm out.
You know, us in the business, we're our harshest critics. The ones that are pushing for truth, to share their hearts, to share their walk, we're our harshest critics because we never feel that we do good enough. We always feel that we could have went that much further or shared that much more.
True.
But changing a life, one at a time, two at a time, is a blessing. It's a blessing from God. You know, the ability that you've been given and the strength that you have, I truly admire you. You know, what you're doing, not very many men, let alone women, have the morality, the ethics to speak on the things that you do. My friend, you are creating history. You are changing.
I'm into that.
You know, you're such a blessing. I can't wait to get you back on the show again for episode
Thank
two
you.
Because there is so much more I want to talk about. I knew that we were going to kind of think, you know, keep things lighthearted and just kind of give my listeners a basic introduction into where we're going next.
Yeah.
And you already tore my heart in two, my friend. You already tore my heart in two. But, you know, on my show, what I like to do is...
Trust me, not just me. As I'm talking now, there's millions of women in Saudi Arabia and Jordan and Egypt and Yemen and Afghanistan, in Iran. How many women disappeared after they tried to do the Iranian revolution? Disappeared, they're gone. We don't know what happened to them. The fact that they took off the hijab and they put it on the stick and they wave it, they're gone. We don't know. I'm talking about millions of women need to be freed. And yet the feminists on the West are putting the hat on their head, you know, the woman part,
yeah,
and walking in the street with the pink, like they're, you know, insulting Trump and insulting the government and thinking they have it.
Yeah.
The feminists, they go naked. Why don't you go to Saudi Arabia?
You know, Sandra, my show is literally worldwide.
Amen.
And for some of the women out there that came from where you came from, have an opportunity to listen to the show, I want to give you the ability in your native tongue to share a message with those women of hope, faith,
wow,
and unity, and prosperity. So if you would, because you never know, there could be one, two, three people listening from the Middle East to my show right now. So I'm gonna hand the mic to you. If you can give a message of hope, unity, passion, and faith to them in your native tongue, the floor is yours, my friend.
Sure. Thank you. I'm going to say it in Arabic. سلام المسيح مع الكل. أنا بس حابة بهذه الفرصة أنه أعبر عن الفرحة اللي جواتي أنه أنا قادرة وصل صوتي لملايين من النساء المضطهدات، لملايين من النساء اللي بيعتقدوا أنه الإسلام كرمهم، الإسلام أعطاهم الحرية، والإسلام رفعهم عن باقي نساء العالم. هذا الكذب اللي إحنا عايشينها، الإسلام هو مصدر الإرهاب ومصدر الاجتهاد واللي حد من كرامة المرأة واللي دمر شعوب كتير. أنا بدي أستغل هاي الفرصة وأقول لكل واحدة مضطهدة في أي مكان ما كنت تكوني بالعالم إنه الطريق مفتوحة والأيام جاية وما في شيء مسدود بطريقك. أول شيء افتحي قلبك، افتحي ذهنك، شوفي الإسلام على حقيقته. المسيح له كل المجد، أعطانا القوة وخلاك أنت تكوني بنت الملك. هاي رسالة أنا بوجهها لكل مرأة مضطهدة، لكل مرأة مفكرة إنه الإسلام أعطاكي الحرية وأعطاكي الكرامة. اخرجي من ثوب الإسلام وشوفي الحرية الحقيقية وشوفي إنه أنت قادرة ومش ناقصة عقل ودين. أنت امرأة حرة، امرأة قوية، قادرة تكسري كل القيود، قادرة تمشي بالطريق اللي أنا مشيته وتحررت منه ونشكر الرب انه احنا قادرين نعيش بحريتنا بقوتنا. قادر تكوني انت مساويه للرجل بكل الاشكال بكل الانواع بكل الحقوق، قادر تدرسي وقادر تتعلمي وقادر تكوني اللي بدك اياه بكل حريتك. انت ما بحاجه لا ولي امر ولا بحاجه لا لاي رجل يفكر عنك، لانك انت عندك كل العقل وعندك كل القوه وكل القدره انك انت تكوني اللي انت بدك اياه. فانا بترجى كل واحدة اللي انت اذا انت مضطهدة اذا انت مخدوعة بالاسلام، اصحوا قبل فوات الاوان، لانه الاسلام طريق واحدة، طريق جهنم وطريق النار وطريق العبودية لإلك، والمسيحية هي الحل والمسيح هو الحل، والمسيح بيحبكم والمسيح بيقول هو انا هو الطريق والحق والحياة. تحرروا من عبودية ابليس، تحرروا من قيود الاسلام وتعالوا لحرية المسيح، له كل المجد. امين. Go ahead, I'm done.
You're fine, my friend.
Wow.
You know, I just love to give...
I'm sorry, I'm just compassionate.
No, sorry about, you know, you...
We're Canadian, we say sorry to anything and everything.
Well,
that's to prove how Canadian I am.
But it's beautiful because, like we spoke of earlier, you create change in one. You know, I like the old expression in life. You can throw the rock into the pond, but or you can also turn the ripple into a tidal wave.
I'll be honest with you, the one thing I learned from Islam, and that's one of the keys that the, how they are successful somehow, determination is the key. Determine. Just keep it. Never give up. They don't give up. So why we should?
We shouldn't.
With we shouldn't.
With that being said, you know,
amen.
Sandra?
Yep.
It's been a thing on my show lately, not just with Canadians or anybody
yep.
of any culture, but almost on all of my shows lately, everybody, all of my guests would like to end the show with a prayer. So
yep.
I'm going to give you that opportunity. If you'd like to end today's show before I hand the mic to you with a prayer, the floor is yours.
Sure. Okay, Father God, we thank you, we worship you, we praise you, Lord. We thank you for today. We thank you for everyone who listened to this show. We thank you for everyone who is working hard to make this show happen. I bless my brothers. I bless my sisters. I bless everyone. God bless everyone who is working hard to get the truth out. We praise you, Lord, for this opportunity. It's divine day, divine appointment that you made it to us. You made it for us, Lord, that you brought me all the way to speak. To speak with authority, and I pray in Jesus' name that the chains of fear to be broken for everyone who's listening, the chains of fear to be broken. In Islam, it says we will cast the terror. I pray in Jesus' name, no one will be terrified. No one will be afraid. No one will be submitting. No one will be fooled. Open their heart, open their mind, open their soul to the truth and only the truth. We pray that in Jesus' name that many people will come to know you, Lord, will come to know you, will come to know the truth, the life, the truth and the life, to live it fully, internally, eternally, Lord. We thank you for this show. We thank you and we praise you, and we know that in Jesus' name we can do everything. We can do everything. We will conquer the world with love, by the word, not the sword. The word that come out from our mouth, it's like a fire, a fire. It will cast away all demons and satanic and evil and wickedness in people's heart. We pray for the protection of USA. We pray for the protection of Canada. We pray for the protection of Europe, Asia, everywhere in the world, Africa, everywhere. We pray for the protection. Pour your Holy Spirit in people's heart and minds. Reveal yourself to them. Whoever seek you, find you, Lord, as I did. And we praise you for today. And we praise you forever, eternally. God bless you, and God bless your show, brother, and God bless everyone who's listening. Bless them, give them healing, give them power, give them everything they need to keep continue. The fighter voice to keep continue. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Such a
Thank
beautiful
you.
Prayer. You know, Sandra,
yep.
I am totally honored and humbled that
Thank
I got
you.
This opportunity with you. You're a tremendous lady in your walk. I can't wait for episode 2. so we can go a little bit deeper and
yes.
share more of the
educational episodes about many things. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes. I'm gonna let Rico say his farewells, and then I'm going to come back, and then I'll let you give your social media sites, my friend. Rico?
Thank you so much, Don. This means a lot to some people, but I want to thank Rihanna for listening, my friend, our listener in Pakistan. This is great publicity for us because Nadeem Hamid, he shares our videos with people over there. So, Nadeem, thank you for listening. It's honored to be on this worldwide show. Thank you, Don.
Yeah. Oh, it's an honor and a privilege. You know, Sandra, we're going to get your, now that you got my email, I need to get those videos that we spoke of. Excuse me. I would very much love to create that aspect and give that opportunity. You know, as life is just about who we are, it's about our hearts, it's about compassion and giving others a voice and not being selfish. And I truly walk that walk. I believe in life we should give without expectations. And the Lord has truly had my back since day one, since I started living that walk and living that dream. You know, I don't expect everybody to have my same ideology, but I expect everybody to respect mine as I do theirs. Sandra, I'm gonna pass the mic to you.
Yep.
If you have any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the show before we let you go, my friend.
Yeah, one thing I just want to say to every Christian out there, if you really love Muslims, tell them the truth. Hypocrisy
yeah.
is a trend now, and I see in my heart broken that when I see many Christians are also falling into it. As a Christian, you know, Jesus shed the blood on the cross for Muslims too. And instead of sending jihadists and terrorists to blow themselves up, young kids, they got in the jihadi camp to make them a terrorist. Please share the gospel. As a Christian, share the gospel. Don't be afraid. Don't say, oh, I'm afraid to offend them. You're not offending them. Trust me. When you tell them the truth, that's the way it is. Find a way to share the gospel. I'm calling on the Christians to pray for me, to pray for my husband, to pray for my family, to pray for my ministry, to pray for everything that I'm doing and I'm still doing in our power to bring Christians together, to bring the message of a Christ. Jesus said, love your enemy, but he never said, bow for your enemy. We don't bow for nobody. We don't submit for nobody. We only submit and bow for God, Him Almighty, our Father in heaven. And that's
Amen.
The only thing I just wanted to say for Christians. Don't be afraid. Break the chains of fear because it's not from the Lord. Say the truth the way it is. Many young girls, Christians, Coptic in Egypt now are being kidnapped. There is a systemic kidnapping for Christian girls in Egypt, the Coptic, and the government not doing nothing. In Nigeria, our brothers and sisters, systemic from the Fulani terrorist organization, systemic genociding of the Christians in Nigeria. Please stand united, do it together, regardless of the difference between us, denomination, put it on a side. We are part of the body of a Christ. That's the only thing that we can do it. Through Christ, we can do everything. We can conquer with the love, with the word of God, because He gives us the authority to do it, and we can. We are authorized from Him, not from any man, not from any wicked politician. We need to stand to the last second of our life on this earth, because we know our kingdom is not from this world. We belong to the kingdom of the Lord, and you are on mission on this earth. Not just to live your life as simply with the world. You are not from the world. You are the children of God. You are the light. You are the salt. So be it. And that's my last message to the Christians. That's it.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
You could speak all day long. Sandra, before I let you go, where can my listeners find you on social media?
Social media? Forget about me. I'm always blocked. My website, Voice of Sandra Solomon. I'm trying to work on it still, like the always media attack me. The only way, if anybody have any question or anything, my email, sandrasolomon777@gmail.com. Facebook, Sandra Solomon, my Facebook name, Sandra Solomon. Twitter, Sandra Solomon, the same name. Facebook keep on blocking me, so I try my best to do live videos sometimes. So that's the only way to kind of find me on social media for now. My YouTube channel, as I said, is gone. And hopefully in the future, that's why I said I'm going to work on getting some organizations that registered and everything, and also working on writing my book. So hopefully the day will come and many people will have it. For now, it's Facebook. It's Sandra Solomon. That's it.
When your book comes out, I'm gonna promote the heck out of it, my friend.
I'm into that. Thank you so much.
Oh,
and
more
to come. And I appreciate having you, and I appreciate everyone who listened. And I appreciate that people please share the message, share the truth, because only the truth will set people free.
Amen. Sandra, it was an honor.
Yep.
And
yep,
a privilege
thank you.
To have you on the show tonight. God
yep.
bless you.
God bless you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Nice meeting you, Sandra.
Day. Nice meeting you, sir. God bless you. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Sandra Solomon, a tremendous young lady. It was an honor for me to have her on the show. Rico, what were your takeaways from the show tonight?
I knew it would be exciting, and I'm blown away because they're just, I mean, we could have her on, you could have her on the Fighter's Voice the rest of the year, and we could have people glued to the screen just listening to this because it's intense. And if people will just open themselves up to listen, to accept the sufferings that are really taking place, and just say, you know, we got to pay attention to this because it's infiltrating our country. And just like what used to be like in the World War II times, there were the people called fifth columnists, the Germans who infiltrated our country that were trying to derail things and, you know, sabotage. Well, we've got people inside this country that hate our freedoms, that hate our Constitution, and they are going to try to sabotage us. And we just have to have our eyes open, or it's going to use their ways against us, like Islam. Islam is going to try to take everything that we have against us and just take it completely away from us.
And systematically break us down. You know, she's such a courageous woman. You know, I wish I was half the man that she is a woman. You know, people might say that makes no sense, but
and I know what you mean.
I mean, it's absolutely the truth though, brother. I mean, to do what she's done in her short years on this planet is tremendous. To stand up for what she believes in, even if it meant being thrown out of your own culture. Yeah, that's a tremendous woman in my walk. You know, that's a woman that I admire and respect and will always hold near and dear to heart. You know, that's one thing about life is too short to not tell the truth and not share the ugliness of the world. Rigo, as always, it was an honor and a privilege to have you on tonight's show with me. I look forward to bringing you back on the next one, especially the recap with Sandra. We're going to go a lot deeper and a lot more education. People are probably going, I don't know how much more educated I can get than today, but trust me, there's a lot more pages to this book. And,
yes.
We will understand it. We will break it down for you, and we will change the world. On that note, Rico, thank you so much. God bless you, my brother. I appreciate you coming on. Until the next show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, brother. We'll talk again. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the show today. It truly meant a lot to me to have Sandra on. I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stitch Duran, Juan Ramirez, Bite Me Mouthguards with Joe Rice, the 86ers with Alfred and Freddie, and one more round. On that note, here's a song by, I guess it's coming on Thursday, Soul Rebel Project. It's called Pure Love. I think that's what we need in life today, pure love.
for, girl, it's your love. And that's what I need. Give me that pure love. And that's what I'm looking for, girl, it's your love. And that's what I need. Carry me, 'cause I ain't been feeling right. There's only one thing that could heal me.